BBC Big Three podcast, a weekly podcast where we sit down and unpack three big questions raised from our Sunday sermon. I'm your host, Matt Willis, reclaiming my chair after a week in the preacher's seat, and joining me for the Big Three this week is, of course, the delightful Jessica Baker. Welcome, Jessica Baker.
Thank you, Matt Willis. It is good to be here. I got to say, I'm a little bummed about the change in format again this week. I really liked just watching Mark Rader smash you down with questions.
It felt like, I'm not sure if people are aware, but like, so that sermon was an assignment and like I am submitting it. And so it did feel like I was getting assessed. Yeah.
Did you like note down any, okay, Mark did not like this part or whatever?
I did.
That's so good.
But I did like it when he was like, that's a distinction sermon. I was like, oh, great.
Lock that mark in. So look, I'm happy to be back in my seat, but also just really liked just watching you squirm.
Oh, see, I thought you were going to say like you really appreciated the power that this, the authority.
Yeah, being the host, man. Oh, that's big stuff.
Well, my dear friend, I've got something to share with you. For those who are listening who might be regulars, they would know that your life is regularly changed by Netflix documentaries.
Yes, it is.
You know, you watch something and you just take it on.
Yeah, Seaspiracy is the latest, guys. So if you want to keep up to date with my life, I'm now not eating any meat, including the fishies. But yes.
Bless them. I needed to share with you that I had my very first ever plant-based meal
last night. First ever. Oh, well, well done. Look, here's a little clap into the microphone.
They did kind of, listen, it wasn't by choice. It just showed up in my HelloFresh box.
Oh, okay. But someone ordered that.
So someone ordered it.
Thanks, I think
it
was, Sam, for saving the planet.
My wife, bless her. Listen, I've got pros and cons to it. I just wanted to share my reflections.
Pros, okay. Sustainable living.
Yes, okay,
yeah, the planet won't die.
Okay, so those are good, whatever. Okay. It did taste delicious.
Oh, good.
Yeah, wonderful. But at the same time, it was like a mushroom kind of vibe, which I like. Love me some mushrooms. Mm-hmm. That's delightful.
Was this the like a slow like it the was fake like meat
braised?
Ragu?
Yeah. But
I've got that this week. It's coming up tomorrow night.
So it called it braised meat. Plant based supplement. Yeah. And I was like, why don't you just call it mushrooms? Because it does not taste like meat. So yeah, I just felt a little bit lied to, is what I'm trying to say. Like,
but it was pasta, so how can you lose?
Oh no, like I said, delicious. Time. Got the leftovers for lunch today.
Oh, very exciting.
Gonna be fantastic. But you know, I'm trying to bring you in on.
I'm so proud of you. I'm so proud of you. I haven't yet tried the meat substitute thing. I've more gone for the vegetable
You've
vibe.
Just gone the hardcore veggies.
The meat substitute makes me a little bit suspicious. But for those who want to be good stewards of the planet, HelloFresh vegetarian options are really, really good. Yeah, that's a little ad there. HelloFresh, if you could sponsor this podcast, that would be amazing.
Yeah, and give us free food. That'd be awesome.
Well done, Matt. I'm
Thank
so
you.
Proud.
Thank you. That's all I needed. I just wanted that praise.
Yeah,
well, in a moment, we're going to be joined by Roxanne Lawler, who preached during both our online and on-site services this past Sunday. And Jess and I will be putting the big three questions to her as we dive deeper into the invitation from this week's sermon. Now, for those of you who missed it, Roxy continued in our series On This Rock, giving personal reflections on foundational texts. And you can listen to that message again through our regular GBC Sermons podcast. But for now, Jess, I'm interested, what were your thoughts coming out of Roxy's message?
I'm just really impressed at 8-year-old Roxy that she's pondering life under a wattle tree.
That was absolutely
this is
my thing.
Way too deep for me, man. I was just like, I was into high five. I was doing Irish dancing. Like, I was just loving life. I was not pondering big questions. I'm still not, to be honest.
I was trying to figure out which starter Pokemon I would choose at the beginning of my Game Boy game. Charmander.
Really important. Really important things we were pondering. But oh my gosh, like, big questions.
She's having a hardcore existential crisis of, am I going to gain the world and lose my soul? Like, it's like,
it was hectic. Full on. I'm not on that level, but it's good to hear from people who are on that level.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And it's such a different, like, and that's what I love about this series is like, you get such a sense of the person's story, and we got such a sense of Roxy's story on Sunday. And like, for me, like, it's such a different story, and it's you know, I didn't grow up in the faith, like became a Christian at 17, so like it seems far more realistic for a 17-year-old to be asking those kinds of questions. But like, for someone who grew up in the faith and kind of had that nurtured in them, like, it was just cool to kind of see, I don't know, how the other side lived. I don't
Look,
know.
Look, I grew up in the faith, and again, the 17, I wasn't still asking. I had a boyfriend, man. I had things to do.
And places to be, people to see.
But in terms of what she actually spoke about, I think like that question is huge, and it's definitely one that we need to grapple with. And even like coming back to Mark chapter 8 and what it says, I think, you know, giving up our life to gain it. Mm. Those, like, that big question is not just a one-off, yes, okay, I give up my life, here you go. It's like an everyday coming back to that question, yep, and intentionally giving your life, yeah, yeah, to Jesus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so I thought it was really cool.
Yeah,
stuff.
It was a cracker.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's time for us to start looking at the three big questions submitted through Slido this week. So, Jess, what are we going to be hitting rocks with today?
So question one is it wrong to have things or do things in our lives that don't directly honour the Lord, but on the flip side, don't go against the Lord?
This was
we always want to tread that line, don't we? Where's the line?
This is a classic Matt Willis question. I've got, like, so whoever asked this, yeah, I see you and you matter. Because, man, that was my life for so long. I was like, so where is the line? And can I just teeter on it?
Yes. We are one and the same, Matt. Okay, question two. I think this is a banger of a question. I really like it. How would you explain the concept of losing your life for Jesus to a non-Christian?
Yeah.
Because what a weird concept of like giving up your life.
Yeah.
We're not talking about suicide here. We're talking about like living,
yep,
but not living for yourself. I don't know.
It's mind blown. It's a time.
Yeah.
It's a time.
And question three, how can we live a purpose-filled life for God when we battle society each day?
Yeah, boom. Love that.
Very
keen.
Good. Yeah.
I'm all keen, right, too. Well, there's only one thing missing, and that is Roxanne Lawler herself. Roxy, welcome to the big three.
Hey, how you going, Matt?
I'm good, my friend.
Hello. Hey.
How was it kind of choosing a foundational text for this series?
Oh,
like, was
that's
that a
hard.
Was that an obvious, it's the Wattle Tree time, or... You know, were there others that you were kind of like, oh, that's
a
contender?
Yeah, there was a few, but the Wattle Tree thing, like every time I say Wattle Tree, I think of that moment because it was pretty profound. Like, you know, like it was kind of a weird thing, to be honest, and I still remember it. So I think it was the Holy Spirit sort of whacking me about the head there. When I was praying about it and thinking about it, that just sort of kept, you know, coming back through the rotation of my brain. And so I thought, oh, well, that must be it then.
Yep.
Let's share that story.
Take the hint. Let's
roll
with it.
Let's go with that.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I loved it. And I think we should get into the big three.
Ooh,
let's go. Cool. So, Rox, in Mark chapter 8, it talks about Jesus calling us to give up our lives in order to gain them. But our church wants to know kind of where the line is there. So is it wrong to have things or do things in our lives that don't directly honour the Lord, but on the flip side, don't go against the Lord?
Oh, this is a super easy question. The answer is no.
Oh, happy days.
Wait, it's no, it's not wrong?
No, it's not wrong.
Oh, okay. Oh,
okay, yeah, great, great, great.
No, you said, is it wrong? No, it's not wrong.
Yeah. Please explain.
Please explain. Okay, there we go. Ah, thought I was getting away with that. Yeah, no, it's not wrong to do things that don't honour the Lord, but that don't go against the Lord. Like, there is that line, as you're sort of talking about. Like, we can't live our lives just in hostage to worrying about whether we're doing the right thing or not. Like, that's not freedom. That's not why Jesus came to die. We're meant to be living in this relationship with God, right? It's not meant to be a rule book. I mean, you know, we sort of got rid of that with the Old Testament, right? The rules are out, and now it's actually Jesus fulfilled everything, and now we get to live in freedom and relationship, and we have the Holy Spirit in us. So I think there's probably a few ways that we can... that we can make decisions that are beneficial and good and godly decisions.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of the key thing. You know, what's our motivation, I guess, behind this as well? And I've lived, you know, in the real world with real people, and I'm a real person. So I do understand this question. Like, you know, like where you're like, oh, I really want to do this thing, or, you know, where's the, you know, where do I go with a girlfriend or boyfriend, or what's right, what's wrong? You know, like what does God say about that? And so often it's about me. It's about my selfishness, what I want, what, you know, what will feel good at the time. And I'm not looking at the long term. I'm not looking at the, you know, my whole life. I'm just trying to grasp this little bit because I want to be in control and I want it my way. And so what's the motivation there is the question I'd be asking. Another kind of, I mean, this, I talked about a grid, like this being a grid through which to see our lives and as a bit of a framework. Are we actually, you know, grasping, are we in control, or are we just sort of saying, well, my life's yours now, Lord God, so I guess, you know, I have to
take the wheel.
Yeah. And then also just kind of humble myself and allow you to be the lead. So I guess another grid would be, is this like hurting other people or helping other people? Where does this fall on the line? You know, like is this action, is it going to actually bless somebody and love somebody and draw them close to the kingdom, or is it actually something that's going to hurt someone or upset somebody in some way? So that's a cool way to start thinking about stuff. Another question you might want to ask in these kind of decisions is who's getting the glory here? You know, is this about me and me being on, you know, in the spotlight, or is it actually about putting Jesus in the spotlight and, you know, I'm kind of, rather than being in the spotlight, I'm the one directing the spotlight onto Jesus, if that makes sense. You can use that sort of stage metaphor. Who's getting the glory in this? You know, is this me just going, look, I'm so great, I'm so awesome, or is it actually I'm giving the glory to God? So I think kind of there's a heart issue that's coming underneath all these kind of questions. Another thing is like, do we have things? Oh, there's a lot of economic language in the Bible that talks about that having things and gaining like stuff or possessions or, you know, filling up our lives with the things that make us feel good but are ultimately just, you know, like the Bible talks about don't store up treasure for yourself on earth where, you know, thieves break in and destroy and moths, you know, come in and destroy things.
Yeah, Blueberry taught me that on VeggieTales,
There you go. Yeah. See, VeggieTales, Phil Vischer, shout out to you.
Didn't know the VeggieTale No. life. I'm sorry, guys.
Yeah, well, it's true, you know, like what we do, so much of what we do is just about temporary and we got to look at that as a long-term kind of thing. Yeah, so I think with the economic language, I was even looking at, you know, stuff like 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about don't let your beauty be about the jewellery you wear or the fancy hairdo you have, but it's about the stuff that comes on the inside, that quiet and gentle spirit. And so sometimes people take that and they go, oh, you're not allowed to wear jewellery as a Christian, or you're not allowed to have fancy hairdos, and that's not the point. Like, the point here is actually, like in those days in the early church, you've got really, really wealthy people who are the masters and mistresses of society coming into a home church, and they're meeting alongside people who are their slaves during the day, and here they are at night learning about Jesus and worshipping together, and one's got some sort of, you know, like all the trappings of wealth and the other can barely eat. And so it's that concept of actually now what? Now you're in the kingdom. You're actually brother and sister. You're sister and sister, brother and brother, and everybody is equal under the Lord. And so, you know, like, what are you doing there? You know, it's that kind of challenge and that economic language that we sort of think about. Now, we don't live our lives in that way. We don't have home churches so much, or during COVID we kind of did. But
life groups.
Life groups. Yeah. Exactly.
Every week you manage to weasel away.
Yeah. Well done. Ticks for you. But I think, like, when we're looking at, well, is this thing that I'm going to buy or this thing I'm going to do you know, is it about me being able to say, oh, you know, last year I went to Spain for, you know, for half the year, and, you know, then I bought a...
No, you didn't. You know, we were in a pandemic.
Yeah, that's right. exactly. But is the glory going to me? Is it hurting other people? Like, when I look at my brothers and sisters in the church and they're struggling or they're suffering, like, is this me kind of lording it over them? Or am I actually saying, you know... you know, I have so much and here I can share some with you. Like, what's my attitude?
Yeah.
Does that make sense to you? Are you sort of getting that?
That's hugely helpful. Because, like, I know, like, when I read this question, I was thrown back to me being a new Christian and really tethering my faith, or I guess the authenticity of my faith or the success of my faith, to the things that I could do and control, right? Like, and so, like, I still remember quite vividly, like, being in math class learning calculus and being like, so how exactly am I meant to do this for the Lord? Like, how is this me in this moment trying to figure out what the value of flipping X is? How is that? How am I supposed to do this in a way that honors the Lord? And constantly being caught in this tension of, I don't get it. Like, I don't get how I can physically use what I'm doing here in the now to honor the Lord. And being really scared that, well, if, because I'm told that all that I do needs to be to honor the Lord. So, but I think the kernel of truth in that, or the heart behind that, is that mentality that what I do on the outside is actually the thing that is more important. But I really love what you're saying about the whole, you know, am I doing it with a gentle, kind spirit? Like what's the character? What's the motivation? What's the attitude? Because like really, you know, for 17-year-old Matt, what I would say now is, hey, like what's your behavior in that space? Like, sure, who cares about math? Like math doesn't necessarily honor the Lord unless
it's the devil's work.
Oh, shout out to those mathematicians.
You cannot glorify God in math.
And then sure all the math geniuses all the math people, just write your turned comments. Off the podcast. They're like, well, I'm out.
Well, hello. Shows how wrong you are.
But you know what I mean? But like, you know, there's an opportunity to, you know, honor my teacher like in that space and all those kinds of things. Yeah. So I do think that there's a – in those moments, we kind of think, oh, what can I do on the outside to kind of – authenticate my faith, but really it's more
what's going on inside? Yeah, what's Jesus calling you to do? How's he changing you, making you more in his image? How's he shaping you and stirring up your heart? Because we can go the other side of this stuff too. Like we can actually our piety and our sacrifice can sometimes become an idol to us.
Yeah.
So we can sort of swing the whole other way and be like, do you know what I mean?
There's just no winning sometimes.
So that's why it's about that. It's about that heart piece, you know, and honestly praying about stuff. And I believe in the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to people. Yeah. And so if there is something in your life that you're thinking, oh, this is a bit borderline, it's a bit dodge, not sure about it, just lift it up before the Lord and pray about it and ask him for wisdom and for counsel and if you've got, you know, trusted people in your life, you know, we're not meant to do this alone. We're meant to journey together because we all have the Spirit and we all have the Word. So being honest and vulnerable and open with someone if you're really struggling with something and saying, you know, what about this?
And I think a lot of the stuff that we struggle with as Christians, like pretty much there's a few things that are scratched off the list. No, that's a no-go zone. You can't do that. But pretty much most things when it comes to like, I don't know, sex and things like that, like everything in moderation and like in their own time and their own circumstances is really healthy and God's given that to us to enjoy.
Yeah.
You can always feel though within yourself where you're like, oh, this is crossing a line. I feel like this is uncomfortable.
It's so such a good point, Jess. Yeah. And that line, I know it's kind of sound weird, it might be different for different people and because of their different circumstances, different age, different whatever. Yeah. So even in a broader picture, I mean, look at the meat sacrifice to idols whole conversation that's going on in the Bible. Some people in the early church were like, no, you can never. And other people were like, actually, you can. And the sort of bottom line is this actually that hurting or helping other people? Is by your meat, eating of meat, which, you know, not even plant-based but actual meat, sacrificed to idols, is that actually going to trip somebody else's faith up? Is that going to throw somebody off? And so being others-focused, here's one of our values, is also important in this.
Yeah,
throwing other people off, but also you know where your temptations lie and you know where you can really easily and hard and fast fall into the wrong kind of path. And so, like, your barriers, your boundaries and things for something might be completely different to someone else because they just don't find that a struggle or they can do it in a healthy way.
Yeah, God's at a different place with them and carrying them on a journey in a different stage of their faith.
Yeah. So. Which as a youth leader, like you get, and adults do it too, of like, where's the hard and fast line? And that's just not how life works.
We can become judgmental.
Because it's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh man, I feel like there's, like I'm holding back a million more questions, but let's move on to question two. So, Rox, obviously the big kind of punchline, I guess, of both the passage and your message was this whole in order to gain life, you need to lose it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's this common thread that we see constantly throughout Scripture. It's what Jesus is calling us to. And it's a very, you know, for those of us who are in church, who have, you know, made a decision to follow Jesus, it's something that we are aware of. We've maybe in some way, shape or form wrapped our head around and kind of accepted as truth in Scripture. But it is very probably foreign and alien to anyone who isn't a part of a faith community, who is maybe new to the idea of Jesus and his message and his teaching. But because it is such a pivotal part of his teaching, our second question is, you know, how do we explain the concept of losing your life for Jesus to a non-Christian as we kind of, you know, seek to share Christ with others?
That's a really good question, because it's not really your classic evangelism strategy, is it? No. Come and give your life to Jesus. Often the evangelism strategy that we will hear may not be as full a picture as maybe we should be giving, because we often say to people, you know, Jesus will forgive your sins, you're walking in alignment with God, come and restore your relationship. But there is a cost to that. And Jesus talks about a parable of somebody who starts building a house, and they say, if you start building a house, you're going to work out if you can actually fund it and pay for the builders and pay for the materials, and then you build it. If you sort of start building the house and abandon it, well, more fool you kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so often with our evangelism and sharing what Jesus has, I wonder if we're not giving people a really, really full picture, which is pretty dramatic and awful to say, but the gospel is not an add-on. It's not something that you can also have. Like, and I think, well, you know, not to get too big, but that's often, I think, some of the problem we see in the church today is that we have people who for them, Jesus is an addition. It's an also thing. It's like, I can live any way I want, do anything I want, and Jesus forgives me, and then I'm sweet, you know, and there's no he's there when I need him, and he is, because he is good and he's God. But it's an add-on. It's like putting a Band-Aid over a break, you know, like, we've got to heal the break. And so, you know, I was thinking about this, and the Bible's pretty clear. Like, I know in John it talks about when we give our life to Jesus, it's not that we're making good people better. Yeah. It's actually that we're making dead people alive. And I think we kind of have lost that, that actually the Bible talks about we're dead in our sins, you know, like we are without hope. And then Jesus comes and gives us everything. He offers, you know, to pay for our sin and gives us hope and eternal future and a family, and everything is good. And so that's, we can't stay dead and get a little bit of alive. We actually cross over from death to life. And so when we lose our life, I mean, it's, yes, we're giving Jesus our life, but it's, we are gaining our life, really. We're already dead. We're actually gaining our life. So I'd sort of, that's kind of my problem with how do we share that with Jesus. But the other thing I think is, if you lose your life to Jesus, I think part of it is that we all have gods anyway. Like, I think we're fooling ourselves as a society. If you're saying to people there's a God and he wants you to follow him and he wants you to give, you know, him your life and he'll give you his, we all follow gods. We just don't recognize them as God. We all have idols that we follow. We all have structures and ideals that we live up to in our daily life. You know, that's what we do. And I just look around the Shire, and probably the God of the Shire is probably money and its physicality and what you look like and what you wear and the cafe you go to and the smashed avocado you have for breakfast, like all those things, and the type of car and where you went on holidays. Like, all of that is the driving force of our life, and who you're in a relationship and who your friends are. Like, it's that positioning thing. And so, like, none of those are bad things. Like, none of those are bad things. But I think when we kind of just make that the sole purpose of our life, that's our God. That's who we worship. That's who we spend our money and our time and our thoughts and our energy. That is our God. And so for non-Christians, that's what they're worshiping. Does that make sense to you? Are you following that? So I don't know. For me, I think, well, you already have a God. Let's have the real God. You may as well have the God who is true and good and beautiful, rather than the one that is not going to last and that is, you know, just ends with despair. May as well have the good one.
I think that whole idea of like Jesus being an add-on, like I've got my life and I'm a Christian. I think you're right. I think it's definitely had time and space to grow that mentality in the church. And I think that's where we find that church then becomes the encapsulating representation of faith in our week to week. You know, I go, I do my job, or I go to school, or I go to uni, I do my things during the week, and then I go to church on a Sunday. And then, you know, I don't think about it again until next Sunday. And obviously, you know, for us here at GBC, a big push and a big focus for us as a community of faith has been discipleship that's in the everyday. You know, it's a daily practice. It's a daily focus. And we need to bring our faith outside of the four walls of church. And and see it kind of ripple through our week so that it's a daily, everyday expression. And I think that's, you know, I think that's the challenge for us as Christians, that we don't compartmentalize our faith and just kind of use Jesus as a bit of a badge that we wear from time to time when it kind of suits us. But to bring it, I guess, back to, well, how do we then communicate that to non-Christians? Because I know you know, I know that there are a lot of people who are going to have that question because I found it interesting, you know, you're absolutely right. Like, you know, it's the whole add-on mentality. You can't kind of, you know, scripture says that we're dead to our sin. You can't get a little bit alive. You have to like.
Yeah, crossed over. You need to cross over. Crossing over from death to life.
A new life with Jesus. I guess one of the things that I'm aware, one of the statements that I'm aware that a lot of, you know, people kind of are met with when they try and kind of share that that message is, well, like, who are you to tell me that my life is a dead one? You know, we live in a post-truth world where what's true for you isn't true for me. And although you see sin in my life and you see sin as an active part of this world and it's got, you know, and there are implications to that, I may not see it that way. And so, you know, you see the way that I live my life as causing death, but I actually see it as a way of living. Like, how do we, and I think that's why, you know, you talk about how we've kind of, we've stopped talking about this part of the gospel message. And I think that mentality is the reason why we have, because it's like, well, how do we?
Yes, it's unpalatable.
Yes. Like, how do we make this truth and the need for Jesus in this space, how do we make that real?
Oh, that's so good, isn't it?
I don't, like, that's a huge question and I'm fully aware that it's it's complicated and layered, but, you know, I don't know. How do we go about doing that? Because I know that I find that tension.
Yeah.
You know, I find myself in a situation where I'm like, well, how do I even go about starting that, and it feels like it's instantly going to close down the conversation.
Yeah.
If I start throwing out the whole, oh, well, yeah, if you stay this way, like scripture says that your life is for naught. Mm-hmm. Like,
well, I think you probably wouldn't open a conversation, to be honest.
What? Yeah, hey, let me just tell you how everything that you're
everything
doing.
You're doing leads to death and there's a way to do life. I mean,
you mean I shouldn't stand on a milk crate at town hall
please
and
don't.
Just say the end is nigh?
See you on Saturday at town hall.
Yeah. So, look, I think with this, it's about relationship, I think, as well at the end of the day. And as Christians, we are called to be in the world but not of the world. It's the classic expression. So we are meant to live lives that do reflect Jesus and that are marked by difference and marked by the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, all
nailed
of that.
It.
Our very kids' good. Ministry, we'll learn from songs. And I've probably missed out one. I think I skipped joy. Anyway.
I was going to say Milo had a joy.
Joy
bad
joy. Because
you guys went through
this on
Sunday.
We did. But so that's the mark of our life, right? It's meant to be the fruit of the Spirit. We're meant to be living these lives that do reflect Jesus and that are marked by those things. And I think when you start living different and Sunday becomes less about the add-on for Christians and more about sort of disseminated into the week, you know, the kind of it's not just Sunday, what about Wednesday? Then and you're living and as a disciple in your discipleship practice, then it's going to bleed out into your life and into your relationships and people are going to see a difference. Like, I've met people who've started living that way or just realized, and through the power of the Spirit, they are changed people. You know, like your classic Saul to Paul type people. And they can't shut up about Jesus and they can't stop being tender-hearted and soft to others and kind to others and it makes a difference. And people do say, What the heck has happened to you? You know, what's going on? And that's your opening to say, listen, I've, you know, had this experience with Jesus. And that's where you kind of get the permission, I guess, the opening to be able to speak in. And if we're not, you know, living those lives and taking our discipleship seriously, it's going to be harder for us to have those conversations with people.
Yeah.
So we need to live those authentic lives where, you know, we are in the Word, we're asking the Spirit to speak to us and through us. And so then we do have little openings to be able to show people that we have crossed over from death to life and we are different. And that difference is not like, you know, that we're judgmental jerks, but it's actually that we are people marked by, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. So I think that's kind of where the answer has to arrive. Yeah. You know, the reason that the church grew so much is because they did the things no one else wanted to do. Mm. You know, like when there was plagues and things, the church, you know, everyone was running away, the church ran towards them. Mm. You know, when there was people who were neglected and hurt, the church would bring them in. Mm. And they would bring them in and care for them. But there was still a process that they had to go through in order to join the church. You know, they still had to be taught things and they had to be baptized and then they were part of the church body. It wasn't just like they were welcomed and cared for, but there was a policy almost in those days. Even for baptism, you had to go through, you know, certain bits and pieces and prove that you actually did believe in Jesus. You weren't just doing it to get in the in crowd, that it was actually an authentic and real faith in Jesus. Mm. But they grew because of their work and what the difference they made.
Yeah. I love that. If we want to see lives changed by Jesus, it needs to start with our life being changed by Jesus.
Yeah. That's a bumper sticker right there.
Yeah. Boom.
If you could make them up for us, Matt, that would be great. Yeah. Okay, we'll have a bumper sticker. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think there's definitely a time and place for this approach, but I think it is very specific to the individual. If you've got a friend who's just kicking their life goals and absolutely loving life, you're not going to be like, everything that you're doing is so wrong.
No.
But if you've got a friend that were like, I just poured into this group of friends and found all my worth in how I looked and it's just not working, or, you know, people will potentially come to you being like, I'm just missing something, then that's the moment of being like, well, you've got the wrong priorities here. Jesus will give you what you need. But
but that's the plan A stuff, isn't it? Yeah. The knowing step. Yeah. Like,
nice work,
I think.
Matt. Yeah, yeah. Did you see that? Yeah, Dan, Belinda that? Will love you.
You're welcome. No, but it's true. Yeah, and I think, you know, I think sometimes we hold on to a really old school way of evangelizing, which is I'm just going to, you know,
stand at town hall,
accost a random person street and be like, you need to know Jesus.
Yeah. Even not that extreme, just accost your friend with what you think they need to hear or your story that isn't individualized
to
them at all.
It's got to be a relationship. And it's got to be, there's got to be consent in that.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, not to get into. I mean, I'm happy to get into that conversation, but like, you're absolutely right, Jess. Like, and I think the combination of both of what you're both saying, like if we're living, like you're saying, Rox, our true, authentic life in Jesus, then when our friend has, you know, who we're building a relationship with, who we're being real with and honest with, when they come to us, that's where the two worlds collide, and that's where you can have the conversation about losing your life for Jesus in a way that is, you know, real and attainable for someone, as opposed to just having a coffee. Hey, how's work? Yeah, awesome. I got a promotion. It's for naught. It's for naught.
Yeah.
Don't know why you're celebrating
it. It's all going to, you know, it's all gonna crumble. The end.
And if you are living authentically for God, people are going to want to flock to you with their questions, right? Being like, I can see your life's still hard. Like you lost your job, but you're still kind of happy. And like, what is happening there?
Trust.
Because I lost my job too and I'm a wreck. Like, you know, people would just see that there's something else going on under the surface.
And even when you can't do it all the time, because none of us can, none of us can do it all the time. Yeah. But just even that, our attitude in when we stumble and fall, that we just, okay, well, you know, there's forgiveness in that. Mm. We're going to pick ourselves up and just keep tracking on and following the Lord. Mm. So, yeah.
I love that. All right, let's get on to question three.
So I think as a church, a lot of us desperately want this. We want to live that life of giving ourselves up for God and gaining a more like fulfilling life back and what we're actually built to do. But like every day we're met with like ridiculous struggles and temptations. And like you said in the previous question, like we just can't do it all the time. It's like, you know, we fall and stumble. And so we want to know how we can live a life purposely for God when we battle society each day.
Ooh. it's an interesting question, isn't it? I find that phrasing interesting, that we're battling society, and I wonder what that means, to battle society. Maybe it was, I did use an analogy about the battle and
going Lord into, of the Rings,
yeah, the Lord of the Rings, yeah. Yeah, me too, I like
that.
Banger,
Aragorn on his horse.
Yeah. Wasn't really what I meant, that you would just jump into society with your sword and shield, but that's okay. But yes.
I suppose we're just so like, we're swimming in the wrong direction.
Yeah,
like a
different
direction,
no, we absolutely are. We absolutely are swimming in a different direction, and we have a different allegiance, and we have an allegiance to God. So I guess that's that whole in the world but not of the world thing that we talked about before. Is that that we are different because we are alive, and we're alive in Christ. I don't know. I guess for me, I think of that verse that talks about seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. You know, like that needs to be what we're putting first. And then it says, I think it's seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. I think that's the scripture that I'm talking about.
Sure.
Sure, go with that. I'll go with that. But, like, we need to be putting God first in that. And then so I guess when we're walking around in our daily life, like, I'd hate to think we were battling society, but, like, are
but
we –
there's a tension
yeah,
there,
there's a tension.
There?
Is like that what – that's, yeah, I think that's I think the question.
It's that whole constant – it feels, whether overtly or not, like, it feels like there's a pushback.
There is a pushback.
Where we're swimming against the current, mm-hmm. where we're called to be countercultural, mm-hmm. we're called mm-hmm. to stand apart. Mm-hmm. And when we talk about it from the perspective of living an authentic life with Jesus, that sounds mm-hmm. great.
Yeah.
Like, you know, as we were talking in question two, I was like, I was getting all pumped. Mm. I'm like, yes, living my authentic self in Jesus. Heck yes. Like, sign me up. But yeah, where the rubber hits the road, it's draining. There's a pressure in that. There's a pushback in that, and that's hard. Mm-hmm. Like living in that, even I think the expectation that that's to come. Mm. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I work in a church. Mm-hmm. I work with a whole bunch of Christians. Majority of people that I interact with share my views and my beliefs, mm-hmm. And yet I still have that undercurrent of fear of, oh, but when I speak to someone who doesn't believe in Jesus, oh, like there's just going to be such resistance. I think that's the battle piece. It's that, living with Jesus, amazing. But what that means in the day to day, in the world as I kind of just live life and the practicalities of life, you know. Before I was here at the church, I worked in government where faith was just, you know, it wasn't just not acknowledged, it was despised.
Like ridicule or something almost.
Religious institutions were just like, I remember having like colleagues just like, why would you believe this? You're an educated person. Like how ridiculous. Like, do you know what I mean? And so I think there's an anticipation that that's the battle that we're going
to
be.
Yeah, so you need to be defensive.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's but then you're meant to be defensive graciously and
not offensive.
Going against the current. It's not, to me in my mind, it's not so much like a gentle current. It's more like, you know, in New Zealand, the like river rapids.
You can just see Jess
like flailing about down the cliff.
And everyone else is in their boat like, this is easy, this is fun. And we're like,
we're getting the wrong way.
Like society just keeps pulling us back.
They're smacking us with their oars.
It's not a good image for Jess.
No, it's a terrible image.
Oh gosh, yeah, it's true. I guess if you're in that river, you got to find a rock and stand on the rock to bring it back.
Did you just bring in the series title? I think you did.
Yeah. Well, it's true though. You know, like we are called to stand upon the rock and for God who is bigger than we are. And then we're not meant to do it alone. We're not meant to be flailing around, and we're not. And so even when we do have those conversations and people ridicule our faith or say, "Why would you believe in Jesus? You know, how could you possibly do that?" Like we're not meant to do that by ourselves. And in fact, the Bible talks about the Spirit giving us the words we need at the time. And that's full on. I really wish I had that happen more because I struggle with the words at the time. You know? I think when we go into to the world, we need to prepare ourselves to go in, and it isn't a battle, but in some respects there is battle analogies in scripture that talks about the armor of God as well. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That we're supposed to put on the armor of God, and none of the types of armor, like there's the helmet of truth, the feet fitted with the sword of the spirit, the shield of faith. The chest plate of righteousness. Like all of those things are built on like a centurion's armor. And I find it really interesting that there's only one offensive weapon. They're all defensive.
Yeah.
They're all defensive for protection. But there's only one offensive thing, which is the word of God. Like, it's the sword of the spirit, sorry.
Yes.
So which is the word of God. So that's the scripture. It talks about the sword of the spirit, which is the word of God.
Yep.
So the only thing that we really have that is offensive is the word of God. Everything else that we have, we're meant to have a defense. And so it's not ourselves defending ourselves. It's the Lord defending us, and it's the Lord protecting us. And the only thing that we really have to fight with or to attack with, and that's a bad word. This battle analogy is going too far. But it's the word, which is what is God has given to us. Mm. And so that's what we kind of need to be standing on and depending on.
Yeah.
And I remember in the end of that passage, it says that that after you've done anything, you sort of you can go through the slings and the flaming darts of the evil one. You know, like it talks about that in that scripture verse. And then it says in the end that at the end you just stand. That's all you can do is just stand. And so I think that God's expectation of us in our daily life is not almost that we would gain ground or or push forward, but it's actually just you just need to stand in the Lord, and that's okay. And that God gives you what you need to get through the day, and He gives you your word, and you need to just be at the end of the day, you will have enough to stand. And that's all right. I think for me that's a great challenge. Actually, am I preparing myself to go out in the day? Like, I know that we're all really busy and stuff, but am I spending a couple of minutes even in prayer saying, God, as I go out into the day, will You protect me? Will You give me what I need to walk into this environment where I'm going to get ridiculed for my faith, where people are going to ask me and people are going to say, there's no such thing as Jesus. Will You give me what I need to protect my heart, my soul in that? And the only thing I've got is the Word of God. And then we need to sort of then, I guess, train ourselves in the Word of God and use the Word of God appropriately and with love. So I don't know, like it is difficult to live in this modern world. The internet's also really difficult too. I think I want to give you a shout out to how bad the internet is. much as I love it. And I do love it. But I think when people are sort of quite antagonistic and you get sort of that sort of militant atheism online, and just they're almost religious in their persecution of Christians. Do you know what I mean? Like, they've swung the other way as well. But it takes away all the personality online, so you can actually be really upset by the attacks that happen online, and everyone just has their keyboards, they're just smashing out their opinion and rah.
Haters.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so strong. It's such a strong attack. Whereas you might not do that necessarily, with your workmates. They might tease you or harass you. Sounds like you got a really hard time there, Matt.
Yeah, government,
with
it was yours. A hard.
Yeah, that's a hard slog. Yeah, that's
a hard slog. The same kind of vibe.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Awful. But that's difficult because people, online, they just don't seem to care about your personal feelings.
They can't see you crying.
Exactly. Yeah. And
but then we expect that that's going to be what we experience
in real life. And often it's not. Sometimes, people aren't that awful. A lot of the times they're not that awful in real life. And I think too, the other thing, that the church, capital C, has a bad reputation. But the church, capital, like little c, lowercase c, which is the church on the road, has actually a really good reputation.
Yeah.
Like, most people will be able to say, oh, the church, oh, they're terrible, look what they've done, Royal Commission. But then you ask about the little c church down the road and the people that attend that church, which are involved in, feeding the homeless and caring for domestic violence victims and, running the youth group and being a great community citizen, they're like, oh, they're great. And they're actually do you know what I mean? They at some level recognise that the church is salt and light in, they're preserving and they're illuminating the world. So I think sometimes we can get up, you know, get our knickers in a knot in some respects with what we think people's attitude is going to be.
Yeah.
But then we find out actually, you know what, people, when we're doing the things that matter and we can sort of highlight that and say, well, this is what we do, people go, oh, that's cool.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's awesome.
Love that.
And they want to join in. Yeah. I don't know if that's helpful.
It's a doozy.
I think,
you know, far out. Like, I think we're always going to be asking these questions. I think, you know, this week and obviously because your message was so tied to that, that big declaration of who Jesus is, like, I think these questions are ones that we're going to be asking ourselves day in, day out.
Yeah, and maybe for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
You know, they're big questions.
And I think that's okay. I think it's why conversations like these are so helpful.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we shouldn't be doing it alone and we should be, you know, doing it in community and supporting one another and leaning on each other and keeping each other accountable.
Life groups.
Life groups. Again, yet again. Ooh,
bit of respite in your week.
But Rox, like, thanks so much, because I think, you know, I've really taken heaps out of that about, you know, okay, like, let's just, you know, I think for me it's, let's take it a day at a time. Let's ask these questions. Let's consider, you know, consider what that means moving forward into just this day, you know, whether it be your Wednesday, Tuesday, whatever.
Whatever day.
And just purposefully giving it to God.
Yeah, love it.
Sweet. Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh,
this
thanks so much for having me.
Anytime. Well, Jess, like I said, big topics.
Yeah.
Big topics today. Big questions. What's standing out for you after that chat with Rox?
I really like the discussion around the first question. I think particularly as a youth leader, I get like a lot of youth kids asking like, where are the lines? I want to live for Jesus, but I also really enjoy doing this or you know, whatever. And so I like
that. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's not black and white and it is totally a heart thing.
Mm.
And it's, you know, is this safe and healthy for you? If not, then, you know, look another way or see, you know, try and seek out God in that space or how can you do it better or whatever. But yeah, I just, you know, I don't want people to get stuck in this, like, this is how Christians have to live and I'm sacrificing absolutely everything and, you know, this is my life now and I don't particularly enjoy it. Like, that's just not what God calls us to do.
But I think it's important, and like, you pick up on this, like, that, you know, the youth kids ask you and it's important to bring other people into that conversation, because if you're just making that decision of yourself, there's a good chance that you might just kind of say, oh, no, my heart's in the right spot.
Yeah,
I'm good.
Yeah, no, you definitely need people who may be a bit further along down the line to be like, actually, is it? which we've all been there. I've had definitely had those chats before.
Absolutely.
What about you? What did you kind of take away from the chat?
Man, I'm continuously coming back to the whole discipleship happens in the everyday. Just that I have such a desire for that in my own life. Like I said, I work in a church, but just like anyone else, I can get caught up in the tasks that my job requires of me, and even tasks where it's like, hey, I've got to sit down and prep some life group materials. Like, and so I'm in the Bible, but, you know, am I doing that personal spiritual practice? Like, sometimes I just need to be living that discipleship in the everyday.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. This is totally a free plug and, you know, I'm just a stickler for a free plug. Really excited for the discipleship cycle pilot that we're running in the PM. Starts this Sunday. We're all heading to Anzac services around the Shire. Yeah. Jess and I are hitting up the Cronulla one at 5:30 a.m.
Oh,
I know that there's
times.
A crew going to Sutherland Memorial. So, and then we're going to come back to GBC at 6 p.m.
To chat about it.
Talk about, you know, secular reverence in our world and what that looks like for us as Christians.
Big
topics. And, you know, I love that kind of stuff. That's the whole where the world meets faith and how do we live in the tension of that. So, you know, I want more of that. I want more of those let's consider this in the everyday to see my discipleship grow.
And I mean, you work in a church and you still struggle with it. For me, working as a midwife, it would be totally inappropriate for me to be, you know, thinking about Jesus while I'm delivering a baby. You know, like I've got things to think about. Like well, I mean, he maybe is in the background.
Knit together like, in the mother's womb. Like
the woman would probably be concerned if I start gazing off into the distance or open the word of God. So for me, it looks like what do I bring into that workspace the way I'm acting? And I definitely do not always get it right. Mm. There's times where, you know, I'm stressed and I lash out or get sassy or, you know, an occasional swear word has been passed across the delivery
you
suite.
You being sassy, I just can't see that being
the strange.
Case.
It's not really my personality. I'm such a gentle soul. So, yeah, it's not necessarily like in the devotion that I write for youth or whatever. It's how am I representing God in that space, which is tricky to navigate in the real yeah. world because people are there ready to nitpick and pull you up.
Bless them.
Yeah, but.
Oh, so many things to consider.
Yeah,
well,
for sure.
Let's just keep considering that.
As we do every week.
As
our
we
minds
do.
Are blown every week and yet we don't learn.
I think we learn. We learn.
Yeah, a little bit. I'm slow.
Guys, we learn, I promise.
I'm not as advanced as Roxy tackling big things at 8 years old. I'm a slow learner.
Oh, yeah, fair enough. Well, if you want to be a part of the conversation, make sure you're there at one of our services this Sunday and that you snap the Slido QR code before the sermon to get involved. If you've enjoyed the Big Three podcast today, take the time to give a star rating and be sure to subscribe to stay up to date with all future episodes. And thanks for joining us for this week's Big Three and our deep dive into God's invitation for us all. Remember, there's no thought too small, no question too big. Thank you.